thank you, Brother Bobby. Thank you for the song and for the sensitivity to the Spirit. We were singing a song a few moments ago, and I just want to tap into this. That said, I know that you are for me. And I just felt the Holy Spirit drop something into my heart that there's somebody here this morning. You need to hear that. That God's not against you, my friend. Listen to that. Now listen, there's somebody specific that needs that this morning. God's not against you, He's for you. He's not only God with us, He's not only God in us. Understand this morning, my friend, He's God for us. And the Scripture says, since God be for us, the rhetorical question is, who can be against us? And the automatic answer is, none. Since God is on your side, since God is for you, He's not angry at you today. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. Somebody specific. God's not angry with you, my friend. He loves you. He's for you. He has cleared the paths to show you that He has removed every obstacle that could possibly exist between you and Him. And He's brought you here specifically to hear that word this morning. My friend, God is for you. He loves you more than you could ever know, more than you could ever dream. Receive His love today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Brother Chris, the dangerous thing, he stepped out, but the dangerous thing about naming volunteers is you're going to leave somebody out. Inevitably, you will. And it's never intentional, and it's never with the desire to slight anyone or cause anyone to feel that their contributions are insignificant. I know I thought of a couple that just, you just can't think of everything when you're trying to compile a list, but we have folks that clean this church regularly, and they don't get paid a dime to do it. Aren't you glad for that? I mean, I'm just being very honest with you. Preaching and teaching and all of that is made so much easier. It's actually made possible by the fact that we can come into a building that has been prepared for us and that is clean. We have folks that on a regular basis prepare the communion elements for us. And I'm sure there are some that I'm forgetting. Just know that there is no act of service, no act of service that is done as unto the Lord that goes without His eye of recognition. We may fail to recognize it. You may not have your name emblazoned on the screen up here. There may not be anybody there to take a photo of it when you're doing it. But just understand every act of service as unto the Lord is just as deserving of an applause as any other service. And so thank you, thank you, thank you. My wife and I were actually talking about this earlier this week. There are actually very few of us that call this our regular church home. There are actually very, very few of us that don't do something. And there are a good number of us that do a lot of some things. And that's, it's not unusual to, and please forgive me, but it's not unusual to have a church full of takers, where 20% do 80% of the work. That's really not the case here, and I'm so blessed and thankful that we recognize the importance and the value of our service. I have a single thought I'd like to draw your attention to this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. While you're turning there, just let me say a personal thank you. I know a good number of you have spoken to me this morning, and there are several others who haven't necessarily spoken to me, but I've heard by other ways that you've been praying for me this week. Thank you so much. Two Mondays ago, I was about to prepare, I was preparing to board an airplane to go to Little Rock, Arkansas, and I felt the all-familiar pain of a kidney stone in my left kidney. And those of you that have had that, you know, you know there's nothing else like it. It's an unmistakable pain. And normally, in my, I don't know how many, I've lost count how many I've actually had since 1998. That was when I experienced the first one. So I've lost count. And so normally, within several hours at the most, I was able to find some relief, and that process was able to conclude. Well, this thing drug out, and it went a week and a week and a half, my other responsibilities couldn't stop. But God was gracious in has sustained me and taken care of me, and I do appreciate your prayers. I'm still not exactly sure what's going on, because I was telling Brother Scott, who is also plagued with this malady from time to time, it seems now to have shifted from one kidney to the other, and I'm just really not sure what's going on. So I have a doctor's appointment, but more importantly, I would be just as pleased to go and present myself to him and say, hey, give testimony to the healing power of Jesus. But nonetheless, I do appreciate your prayers. I do appreciate your prayers. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. You have that? All right, here we go. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. As I read that scripture, I hear the words of my seventh grade English teacher, Mrs. Hawley, ringing in my ear. You never begin a sentence or a thought with therefore. And some of you grammar police, you were already thinking that same thing. He's beginning a thought with the word therefore. And I understand that. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at that word therefore, and we understand that grammatically the word therefore is a conjunctive adverb. Now, what does that mean? It means it shows cause and effect. And so whenever we see the word therefore, it indicates that something has taken place just previous that gives value and meaning to what is about to take place. It is a linking word. It connects the previous thought with the next thought. If it's not for A, then B can't take place. But because of A, therefore B. And so if we're going to fully understand what follows the therefore, we might get a little bit of context what takes place prior to the therefore. So let's look a few verses previous. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I'll tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep or die. We won't all die, but we all will be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and mortality with immortality. And when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and when mortality has been clothed with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. In light of what Christ has accomplished, in light of the sure promise of His coming and our victory through His coming, in light of all that Christ has done, in light of the fact that God gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, therefore, Stand firm, brothers and sisters. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. When it comes to serving God, because of what He has accomplished, because of the sure promises that He's given us about our certain future, in light of that, there's a certain response, a therefore response, that ought to come from us when it comes to our service to God. The first thought I want to bring to your attention is summed up in the words, stand firm and let nothing move you. Simply put, stay put. Just stay put. Don't get anxious. Remain faithful. Galatians chapter 6 verse 9 says this, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. If God, my friend, if God has called you to do something, stay with it and let Him sustain you. Inevitably, whether it is a regular secular kind of work or whether it is volunteer work in the church, inevitably, we're going to see some other situation, some other ministry where the grass looks a little greener. Man, all I do is swish out the toilets, man. They called Berta up here and gave her a card. Boy, that grass over in the food bank looks pretty green. Well, if the grass looks greener in someone else's ministry, maybe it's time to water your own grass. I would say that the most successful thing you could ever do is be faithful right there in what God has called you to do. Anybody ever heard of a man named Victor Plymire? Strange name. Nobody. Oh, what a tragedy. Look him up. Victor Plymire. He was a missionary, one of the veteran missionaries with the Assemblies of God back in the early 1900s. Considering the Assemblies of God didn't even start until 1911, and this guy had already been faithfully serving on the mission field for more than a decade by 1926. Victor Plymire, veteran missionary with the Assemblies of God, called to serve God in the country of Tibet. They say that two of the hardest places, not just because of the hardness of the hearts of the people, but also because of the terrain and the climate and the culture, they say two of the hardest places to serve as a missionary is Mongolia and Tibet. And here's Victor Plymire. This was before the internet. This is before mass communication. In the early 1900s, Victor Plymire takes his entire family to the country of Tibet. Eventually, he buries his wife and his children there. You need to read about this mighty man of God. He buries his wife and children in this tundra. And he labored there for more than 16 years before he ever saw his first convert. Well, we've been doing this for several weeks now, and it doesn't seem to be producing anything. Now, I'm not saying keep doing the same thing over and over and over again and expect a different result. You know, that definition of insanity. I'm not necessarily saying that we buy into that, but I am saying this: if God has called you to it, just stay put, stay faithful. Here's the thing. After all, aren't we all one day looking to hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You see, we can't all be talented, but we can all be faithful. We can't all be skilled communicators, but we can all be faithful. And as the world defines it, we can't all be successful, but we can all be faithful. In light of what Christ has done, in light of the sure promises that lie ahead of us, therefore, just stay put. If God has called you to it, stay faithful. Stay faithful. The second thing I see in here is summed up in that passage. It says, always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. I thought you were going to steal my sermon a while ago, Brother Ted. Not just stay put, stay busy. Get busy. One thing I did notice, although we had a lot of folks standing up a while ago, you know what else I saw? I saw a lot of folks not standing up. Now, it was either because of humility and they just, well, y'all, it's not all about the recognition, brother. Or it's because they just haven't found their niche yet. I refuse to believe that there's anyone that is regularly associated with this church that is lazy and uninterested. I refuse to believe that. I just happen to believe maybe you just haven't found your niche. Maybe you're just not exactly sure how and in the different ways that God has gifted you and how that fits into and what can God do with me. You might be surprised. He can use a donkey. Most certainly He can use you. Most certainly. And so I loved it when Brother Chris said, look, if you feel like that you just want to contribute, you want to get busy, but you're just not sure how, listen, we'll find something. Something that suits your personality. Something that suits your availability. Something that suits your giftings and your talents. If you don't know what to do, just let us know. We'll find some way that you can put that effort and energy and desire and willingness into serving God. We want to provide those opportunities for ministry for you. Because you see, the Bible says in John chapter 9, verse 4, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. For the night is coming when nobody can work. Listen, it's all hands on deck. We're at the end. If whether you know it or not, I'll make the announcement today. We're getting close to the end, my friend. We don't have a lot of time left in the whole scheme of God's eternity. We don't have much time left. And so let's get busy. Let's get busy. And then the final little thought that I see in that passage is summed up by these. You know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Not only should we stay faithful, or stay put. Not only should we stay busy, but we ought to stay encouraged as well. Listen, friend, don't lose sight of the goal. Don't lose sight of the promise. Remind yourself what awaits those who love and have served Him faithfully. Remember, it's not just well done, good and faithful servant. It is enter into the joy of your Lord. Remind yourself, you don't work for God without a payday. Understand, He sees it all. Every act of service, big or small, it's all the same to Him. Understand that. Keep the end in mind. Stay encouraged. There are things that acts of service or volunteerism or whatever. Sometimes there are things that we can do that have an immediate result and you can see them right away. You know, you hand out a sack of groceries and someone says, thank you so much. My family can eat this week. Well, you don't have to wait to go to heaven to get the reward on that one, man. It's right in front of you. But you know, there are some times when you're laboring and you're laboring and you're laboring and you walk away from it and you just say, I don't feel like I'm making any difference at all. We just keep serving these meals. We just keep teaching those lessons. We just keep doing the stuff of ministry. And it doesn't seem to be impacting anyone's life. It doesn't seem to be changing our community. I just don't know. Are we wasting our time? And so sometimes you have to just believe by faith that God's word is true when he says, my word that goes out from my mouth will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and it will achieve the purpose for which I send it. Sometimes you just have to say, I might not see an immediate result, but I have to know because I'm planting good seed. Some of that seed has got to be falling on good soil. I may never see the fruit produced from the tree that grows from that seed. I might not even ever see the tree itself. But I'm not in this for the immediate. I'm in this for the long haul. Anybody ever heard of a man named Edward Kimball? Edward Kimball. Yeah, I had never heard of him really either. Edward Kimball was a Sunday school teacher. Not only did he teach Sunday school, but he prayed. He prayed extensively for the boys in his class. He taught a boys' Sunday school class, and all those boys just seemed to be extra hyper. But he prayed for those boys, and he prayed, and he had a desire to win each one of those boys to the Lord personally. He decided that he would be intentional with each and every single boy. One young man in particular didn't seem to understand the gospel very much at all. And so Mr. Kimball went to the place where he worked, where he was stocking shelves, and went into the stock room. And there in this young man's place of work, Mr. Kimball, his Sunday school teacher, began to emphasize to him the importance of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That young man working in the stock room, his name was Dwight L. Moody. In the stockroom on that Saturday, young Dwight believed the gospel and received Jesus as his Savior. In his lifetime, Dwight Moody touched two entire continents for God, thousands professing Christ through his ministry. Interestingly enough, the story doesn't end there. Actually, this is just the beginning. Under Mr. Moody's ministry, another man's heart was touched for the gospel. This man's name was Wilbur Chapman. Wilbur Chapman became one of the greatest evangelists of his day, preaching to thousands. And in one of his campaigns, in one of his services where he was preaching, a young man who happened to be a professional baseball player came to one of his crusades on his day off and heard the gospel and responded. That young man's name was Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday. Eventually, Mr. Sunday resigned from baseball and became a full-time evangelist himself seeing thousands and thousands and thousands come to Christ. About the same time, also under the ministry of Mr. Chapman, there was another man who was converted, and this young man's name was Mordecai Ham. Mordecai Ham, and you thought you had a strange name. Mordecai Ham. He was quite a dignified gentleman, but yet he wasn't above, listen to this, he would go and preach, and he wasn't above renting a hearse and driving it up and down the streets of whatever city he was visiting, advertising his evangelistic crusades. One of the crusades that Mr. Ham scheduled was in the city of Charlotte, North Carolina. In that Charlotte crusade, there was a sandy-haired, lanky young man who at that time was in high school. He vowed, along with all of his friends, he vowed that he would never go and hear this crazy preacher. But eventually curiosity got the better of him, and so this young man went and heard Mordecai Ham preached. This young man, along with some of his friends, decided that they would go with the very purpose of interrupting the meeting, causing chaos and creating a problem. Troublemakers, they went intentionally to cause trouble. But on the first night that he went, something caught his ear, and more importantly, something caught his heart, and he was intrigued. And so the next night he returned, and on the second night he responded to the invitation for salvation, and he gave his life to the Lord Jesus. That young man's name, Billy Graham. And it all goes back to a Sunday school teacher named Edward Kimball. My friend, don't think that your contribution is of no effect. You have no idea who you're touching. You have no idea the seeds that you're planting. You have no idea how future generations will be impacted by the seed that you're sowing, by the work that you are faithfully doing. My friend, you have no idea. Yes, the saying goes, it's possible to count the seeds in an apple, but only God can count the apples in a single seed. Stay put. If God has called you to it, don't get distracted. Stay put. We don't want you to feel locked into something. So certainly, if you feel God leading you in a different direction, by all means, we want to help you find that thing. But once you know that you're where God wants you, you know you're doing what God wants you to do, stay put. How many years did Sister Taylor teach the children? How many? 30 or 40 years. We lost count. She was still teaching the children when my family came here. You talk about staying put. Stay put and stay busy. Don't listen. Don't get weary. Don't think that it's of no effect. No, no, no. Stay busy. We're running out of daylight. We got to get busy. The work of God has got to go forward. And then finally, stay encouraged. Listen, we're not in this for the temporary. Thank God for those few temporary rewards that kind of keep you encouraged and keep you going along. But keep in mind, you're waiting to hear, well done. Well done. Well done. Let's pray together. Father, we just want to give thanks to you today. You are good and you are faithful and you are great. Lord, we thank you for those that you've raised up, those that you are raising up currently, and those that you will raise up out of this congregation to carry forth your work. Lord, your kingdom will advance. And I thank you that we have an opportunity to be a part of that. Lord, special blessing we pray today on everyone who volunteers, every hour that they give up doing something else to work here at this church or for the ministries of this church. Every hour that they could have spent with family or in some other way, Lord, and yet they've donated it and they've given it without a grudge and without a complaint, Lord, they've given to the work of the kingdom, Lord. We pray that you bless them and multiply that time back to them. Increase their joy, increase their effectiveness, bless them in every way possible. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for who you are in our lives. In Jesus' name. I don't feel like that we would have done ourselves justice unless we take one more step here today. Listen, I vowed a long, long time ago when I was a very young preacher. I've been preaching since I was 18 years old. And I vowed a long time ago that if the Lord would grant me the opportunity to preach His Word, that I wouldn't close out a situation without giving people an opportunity to come to Christ. Listen, it's the most important decision you could ever make. Perhaps it's that individual that we were speaking to a few moments ago that you just simply needed to hear that God's not against you, but He's for you. Maybe you needed to hear that, to put something and drop something into your heart today that would cause you to understand, listen, my friend, because He's not against you, because He is for you, He's made provision for you. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, you're here today and maybe you've gone to church before. Maybe you go to church regularly, but you've never made that decision to just receive Christ into your life and make Him the Lord of your life and to follow him with your whole heart. It's not going to be easy. Of course it won't be easy. Anything worthwhile is not easy. The enemy is going to attack you. He's going to try to get you distracted. Go ahead and prepare yourself for that. But if you're here today and you just say, yeah, pastor, preacher, you're talking to me. Just real quick. No, you are not going to embarrass you. I assure you. Just slip up a hand real quick and say, yeah, that's me. I need Jesus in my life today. I know I do. But no, we're not going to embarrass you, I assure you. We're not going to drag it out. Okay. All right. Father in heaven, we just thank you that you are here and that you are real and that you are present today. We thank you, Lord, for those that serve. We pray that you give them effort and energy to serve you even greater. Lord, for those that haven't yet found their place, we pray that they would search diligently and that we would be helpful in finding them a place where they can serve you with their whole heart and all of their effort and all of their energy. Lord, thank you for those that have prepared our meal today. May they be blessed for their effort, Lord, and may we be blessed by our fellowship and our time of eating together. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Thank you. God bless you. Don't forget, we have dinner right next door. God bless you. Thanks for being here today.